This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Common Core is the name of the new school curriculum that government will be forcing on all school children. But there is one aspect to Common Core that parents find particularly objectionable. Common Core also means gathering and storing all sorts of private information on every school child into a longitudinal database from birth through all levels of schooling, plus giving government the right to share and exchange this nosy information with other government and private agencies. This type of government surveillance and control of individuals is the mark of a totalitarian government. Common Core reminds us of how Communist China gathered nosy information on all its school children, stored it in manila folders called dangans, and then turned the file over to the kid's employer when he leaves school. Several years ago, the New York Times published a picture of a giant Chinese warehouse containing hundreds of thousands of these folders. That was in the pre-internet era, when information was stored on paper. Now data collection and storage are efficiently managed on computers. Common Core is encrusted with lies. It is not, as advertised, written by the states. It is a national project created in secret, without any input from teachers or state legislatures or local school boards. It is not internationally benchmarked. That never happened. The readings assigned in the Common Core English standards are 50% informational texts instead of great American and English literature and classics. The result is that Common Core readings are very political. One suggested reading is a sales talk for government health care, such as Obamacare. Another suggested reading selection is global warming propaganda.
Are you a college student eager to stand up for your conservative beliefs and stand against liberal ideologies? Do you want to build a network with other conservative students? Don't miss the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit, July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. It's free to students who register in advance. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
And good evening. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Show. Riding shotgun with us tonight is Steve Starrs. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Bob. Glad to be back as usual. We've got a big show tonight. A lot of things going on. And, I guess we'll tee it off pretty soon, huh? Right on.
Mm-hmm. Or teeing it off now. Oh. I got a big announcement to make. I won the lottery.
You won the lottery? Oh,
I
man.
I am the lottery winner.
You had to split with that Oriental guy, you know. Who got million? I got million. I like Marca.
Okay, that's not funny, Steve.
I make fun of everybody, Bob. You know what I mean.
Oriental refers to rugs.
Oriental is not. It's only rugs. I'm rich Asian now. Rich Asian. Yes. I want million. I got million.
Oriental refers to rugs.
Okay.
An Asian person refers to a person. So an Oriental label is something that refers to an item.
Okay.
That is, if you want to be politically correct, which I know you're not, Steve. So.
I don't have to be politically correct. I'm a millionaire now. Reach American.
Folks, no. I won the lottery. I won the lottery July 4th of 2012, actually.
Did you really? Okay.
Yeah, my son was born.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like that's a genuine lottery win.
Wow. It is a lottery win, man.
He was born healthy, and he's doing great. So there you go. I won the lottery. I think the whole lottery thing's so stupid, to be honest. I don't think I've ever played. I'm not just saying that. I don't think I've ever played.
Well, I've played it many times, but I caution myself from getting more than maybe one or two, three tickets, maybe more than less than 300 usually, you know. No, and by the way, I am not making fun of Asian people. I imitate all kinds of folks, including Scotsmen, and I'm ethnic Scot. So just keep that in mind. Yeah, so I make fun of Scottish people as well. So I make fun of everybody. And I'm glad this fellow...
And to think that more people buy the lotto when it's $500 million, half a billion dollars. I mean, what's half a billion dollars after all? The Obamacare website cost about that, right? So,
yeah.
But to think, Steve, that more people buy it and they're like, oh my God, $500 billion, yeah, I can deal with that. That sounds like a good enough amount for me. And they don't play when it's 30 million or 20 million, as if 20 million or 30 million is not enough.
Yeah.
So they play when it's 500 million, and of course their chances are diminished greatly. At least I think they are. What a joke.
Yeah.
What a joke. Well, and these people are brainwashed and they get into it. And at the end of the day, if they don't win, guess what, Steve? Their money goes to indoctrination camps. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that make you feel warm and gushy inside? That if you don't win gambling, your money will go to the brainwash facilities, aka schools?
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, not only goes there, the government, if you take the big slice, if you get the big dump, they get about 50% of it. So they get their share, which goes right back into the same. Even the winners, see, even the winners end up coughing up about a half of it if they take the payoff immediately. And most of them take the annuities or they do something. You should probably pick the annuities. As I explained earlier today, pick the annuities. And then when they start to pay off your annuities, sell those. Excuse me. I mean, boy, we both got a frog in our throat tonight. Pick the annuities. When somebody offers to buy those from you, then you can move your money offshore and not pay taxes. And that's the way to go, see? So you just sell off the annuity to them and let them collect it and let them worry about whether the government...
So is that the lump sum that you get?
Yeah, the lump sum is the lump sum is the whole payoff, which minus taxes. So they take the taxes before they give you your lump sum, and it's up to 45-50%, I think, just about that. So the guy that won, they won, what was it, a piece? I can't remember. It was $636 million, the two big winners. So that would give them $318 million, and so they would lose about 50% of that. So they end up with about $150 million apiece. And after taxes. Now, if they pick the annuity, they would only get a portion of that over, 10 years, and the taxes would come out first. But you can sell that annuity. There are companies that say, oh, yes, we will buy your annuity from you. And they'll give you a portion of what you should get. But you can take that money, and you can have it put into a foreign bank so you don't pay taxes. You can move an account overseas and avoid that. They'll pay the taxes for you, of course. But
is that if I was to win, which, you know, this is ridiculous to even hear it coming out of my mouth, but if I was to win, Steve, I would cash out right away. I would spend all that money right away. Right away.
Would you?
Because the money sitting... Yeah, absolutely. I would spend every single cent right away.
I wouldn't. I have plans to do... I have business plans for everything from $10,000 to $200
million. The system's going
to
collapse, man.
Well, yeah, they're very true. But what I'm saying is that all of my plans would go into effect based on the budget that they're in, and some of them would be carried out right away, and others would take a while to be completed. So not all my projects would be completed in 6 months or a year. I have some things that I would want to do for maybe 2 years to do. So that's me, though. I mean, maybe our callers have an idea. And as a matter of fact, one guy that we're going to get on the show tonight is Rex Brocky, if we can, because we told you we were going to bring him back to talk about Bitcoin. This man knows his stuff. So if you are winning the Bitcoin lottery, as Rex Brocky predicted, as he did about, 4 or 5 weeks ago on this show, when Bitcoin was $328, he said it will be over $1,000 by Christmas. He was not right. It went to 1,200, but it came back down. And there's news today about the whole thing in China. Rex is going to tell us, if we can get him on the line, we're going to try. We've tried already. He will explain some of the Bitcoin information, what's going on with Bitcoin, if you're interested. Now, friends, if you have good questions, maybe we should open up the lines, Bob, and let people ask these questions, because a lot of people are either hesitant or angry, or they don't like it, or suspicious, or maybe they want to do it. Who knows? Are very interested in getting involved in Bitcoin or Litecoin or something like that. Maybe we should let our listeners ask Rex some questions if he can.
Right, well, we want to talk to Rex. He's our in-house Bitcoin expert, and we want to talk to him about the drop-off today, about the China Bitcoin exchange and why they've stopped all transactions with Bitcoins and the future of Bitcoins as a result. It's a good topic to discuss because we see it as perhaps an alternative to our fractional reserve banking system that is so prevalent in the world today, with the central banks really controlling the economies of the planet. It's really interesting to see Bitcoin flourish and take off. And here's what I want you to understand, folks. Here's what I want you to understand, and what I would like for you guys to take a closer look at. The Federal Reserve Charter is just about up here. 100 years. Now, we've talked about whether that means anything or if we're going to even bat an eyelid as a result of this so-called charter being up. And yeah, many have pointed out that maybe it was already renewed or whatnot. Bernanke gave his last talk as Fed chairman. Janet Yellen is on her way. And it's more of the same. More of the same. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Right, Steve? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Are you going to sit back
me
and watch the system collapse and not do anything about it? Or are you going to get involved with something like Bitcoin or Litecoin? And even before Bitcoin and Litecoin, in my mind, the most paramount thing you can do is get prepared. Get ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Bitcoin and Litecoin is not going to do much if you don't have electricity and you don't have food. Right, Steve?
Yes, that's true. And, you know, we want to be prepared with seeds, with water, with land. We want to be prepared to hold the land because the Ukrainians had food and they had seeds, but they still starved. So we'll talk about that, too.
That's a good point. All right, folks, stand by. We're going to have our in-house Bitcoin expert on the next segment with us. It's the Bob Tuscan Show.
The Bob Tuscan Show. World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
There's no reason to be sick this season with Supernatural Silver's incredible technology. You can give your immune system the support it needs to help fight off colds, flus, and other nasty pathogens that can ruin the holidays for you and those you love. Used internally or topically, Supernatural Silver is a great defense against sore throats, runny noses, sinus or ear infections, and a whole host of other illnesses. Supernatural Silver is extremely safe and a great way to protect yourself and the ones you love. No one knows what the future may bring, so be smart and plan ahead. Have Supernatural Silver in your emergency preparedness arsenal and give someone a gift that's meaningful, a gift that can change lives. Give the gift of good health this year. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off your entire order. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt.
Bitcoin. Folks in India are buying a month in record numbers. They're interested in this. Are you interested in Bitcoin? Something that I've been entertaining and learning about. And we have a teacher with us, the professor of Bitcoins. It's none other than Rex Brocky now on the broadcast with us. Hi there, Rex. How are you?
Well, still alive. That's one hopeful sign. All right, so tell us, you predicted last month on our show that Bitcoin would go to over $1,000. It did, but just yesterday or today, it got cut nearly in half. What's going on?
It went over almost 1,700. And I made another prediction at the time. I said 10,000 by my birthday next April. And I made another one tonight, 25,000 by a year. The point is that Bitcoin runs up and down. One of the biggest things about Bitcoin is its resiliency, because what basically triggered this drop in value is that China outlawed it. One of the biggest factors causing that run up to nearly $1,700 was that the BTC China became the biggest exchange in the world. And now, the Bitcoin is not actually outlawed in China. The only country that's actually done that is Thailand. Good luck. It hasn't even slowed it down in Thailand, but more on that later. But what China said was that banks and quasi-official agencies weren't allowed to trade in it. Now, that didn't mean they couldn't take it. It just meant they could not trade in it. So that stopped, you know, almost all the banks in China are either government-owned or pseudo-government-owned, and so it stopped them from speculating in Bitcoin, accumulating reserves for themselves. But that's all it did. Chinese citizens can still use Bitcoin, and this is simply a slowdown because there's a little bit less liquidity in the market, so it's a bit harder for people to buy, but it'll be back up. I mean, this is something the mainstream media, every time Bitcoin dives, they go, oh, look, it's collapsing. And what they don't understand is that where was the price of Bitcoin before this latest run-up to $1,700? I'll tell you where it was. It was about $132 a Bitcoin. Yep. And despite this, quote, collapse, it's still over $500 or $600. Yeah. It's not going back down to $132. I can guarantee it. And it'll piddle along here for a while, and then something else will trigger more use of it, because you have to remember that Bitcoin's greatest utility is the fact that you can use it to send money anywhere in virtually nothing flat for peanuts. The Bitcoin fees, which were set when Bitcoins were trading at about $3 a piece, and they're set as a fixed amount, not a percentage, so that that means that, you know, since Bitcoins are up, you know, have been up close to 1,000, that's an increase in more than 300 times in the fees. And the fees are right now about 50 cents to send any amount of money anywhere in the world. That's how much the Bitcoin network charges, is 50 cents. And even that's not mandatory. You can send a transaction without a fee, then it'll take a day or two to go through. If you send it with no fee, you send it with a fee, it goes through right away. There's going to have to be obviously some sort of convention, because the intention was never to have the fees as high, heavy quotes, as 50 cents. So the later releases of wallets and such will have an even lower fee to account for that. But just let me tell you a little story. Some months back, I had occasion to send approximately $4,800 twice. I had to do it twice. And the interesting thing was that it permitted an easy comparison, because I didn't want to send all of it as cash, because that would, you know, probably run me afoul of somebody or another agency. I could send one as cash, but not both. And so I was able to send one as bitcoins and the other as cash. And it wasn't even a fair comparison, because I didn't have the bitcoins to send at that particular moment. I had to go out and get them. That took me about 2 hours. But once I got to that point, it literally took 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, for me to finish the transaction once I had the bitcoins. It was done. Paid for. I had a receipt. All finished. Whereas the saga of sending it through a bank wire, and this was all inside the United States, this wasn't even going foreign or anything like that. It was a bank-to-bank wire. I attempted this, and I already had the money in the bank account. So there was no need to go get it. It was already there, already cleared. You know, you'd think, no problem. Well, I go online and, oh, sorry, $1,250 limit. Oh, well, can't do that online. Can't do it over the phone. Can't do this. I had to drive to the branch. I drive to the branch. I had to bring all my ID, all this other stuff, get it sent. Go back home thinking at least, well, it took me 9 hours, but at least I got it done. Next morning, I look in the account, still not sent. I call them up. Why? Oh, well, we, you know, failed to dot a few T's and cross some I's. We'll get back to you. What with one thing and another, I had to go back to the branch again the third day, and it was the morning of the fourth day before the money actually reached the seller that I had been trying to send this money to. Now, that right there is a marvelous comparison of how easy Bitcoins are compared to any other method of sending money. I have seen some pieces critiquing Bitcoins on the web, and they're comparing it to PayPal or comparing it to spending money with your debit card in small amounts. For any sizable amount of money, anything over $1,000, there's absolutely no comparison. The banks will put roadblocks in your way at every step of the game. Look what happened to me. 4 days to send $4,800. And
not to mention all the ID you have to give them. They want to know who's getting the money, what they're going to do with it, where you got the money, why you're giving it to them.
I see you got the wife fired up in the background.
And their great grandmother's blood type. And if they're not compatible, then sorry, they can't do it.
Yeah. that's Barbara back there.
That's the wife.
You got to get her up front here, Rex.
Yes, that's my wife, Barbara, who, of course, commented in the background of many another show of mine to great appreciation from the audience. She wound up, in some cases, getting more fan mail than I did.
But I did ask permission this time.
Yes, she did. All right. Anyway, and of course, she's quite, the reason that the fans loved her is she's quite correct. And she doesn't hesitate to say, that's ridiculous. Sometimes I, hold back for the sake of irony. But she's right. You know, there's no comparison. There's none whatsoever. And bear in mind that this amount of money that I was sending is under every single one of these ridiculous limits that the government imposes on us. No structuring, under $10,000, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can you imagine if I tried to send over $10,000? This is crazy.
Overseas, yes. Overseas, even more crazy.
Oh, yeah. Overseas is madness. I attempted to get some money sent from an account I had in Japan, and basically at the end of 3 months, I gave up. I made arrangements with a friend of mine in Japan to put it into Bitcoins in Japan and got it sent to me that way, even though I took a loss doing it, because there simply wasn't. I tried all kinds of ways to get a bank account. I was having to jump through so many hoops, it was absolute madness. It turns out there's a local bank here, has a local branch, HSBC, the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank of Commerce, and they also have a branch in Tokyo. And it turned out that almost the only way I could have gotten the money was if I had had an account at both branches, had an account at the one in Tokyo and an account at the one here. And we'll continue this after the break, but that's the kind of thing it would have taken.
Rex Brocky is with us on the Bob Tuscan Show. We're talking about Bitcoins, and we got some predictions perhaps when we come back, as well as a closer look at where it's all headed.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future.
Maine. That at some point the central banks are going to come after it and ban it. Rex, what do you have to say about that?
Well, only, as I said earlier, only one country on earth has actually banned bitcoins, and that's Thailand. And as I said, good luck. Excuse me. The underground bitcoin economy in Thailand is just chugging along. You can see easily on there are various sites that map where bitcoins are being used. But you have no idea who's doing it, but you can see the transactions. And volume, I think, in Thailand increased about 60% since the government banned it. So, I mean, that right there is one of the biggest indications. I mean, what are they going to do? Stop everybody's cell phone? Most people use cell phone apps to transfer bitcoins. And the app's invisible. It leaves no particular signature of what it's been doing. You know, the cell phone doesn't light up and say, "I'm using bitcoins." And it's just a data transmission. And if you can send them, there are services now where you can send and receive bitcoins through regular email. without even needing any Bitcoin software whatsoever on your cell phone. How are they going to stop people sending emails with their cell phone? I would wonder how they would even begin to attempt that. And, of course, with the Snowden revelations and all this, crypto services are multiplying like mad all over the net. There are all kinds of ways now that you can encrypt your conversations. And with them sufficiently encrypted, they couldn't tell if you did send a Bitcoin address over the cell phone. So how would they even begin to stop it? You know, the exchanges... The big exchanges in the United States have been, a lot of them have been effectively stopped by government action, you know, claiming that by the Financial Crimes Center, you know, saying, you know, well, anyone who uses Bitcoins for cash must be, is therefore a money transmitter and must file all the paperwork that Western Union does. And that has put a crimp in many of the larger exchanges. Well, there is a site called Local Bitcoins, which is not an exchange at all in that they don't actually deal with sending any money or getting any money at all. All they offer is a very affordable escrow service if you wish to avail yourself of it. If you don't, then you don't even have to use that. And all it does is introduce individual people to each other so that they can meet either over the phone or in person and exchange Bitcoins. And that exchange, it's a lot harder to get hard data on how much is passing through that site because, it, as I said, it doesn't actually pass through that site. But activity on the network suggests that activity in the United States for Bitcoins is increasing by leaps and bounds, and there's no one there to go after at all. What are you going to do? Grab the website and say, sorry, you can't operate a social media website anymore? The only way they could do it would be to shut down the internet, and, you know, the government would go out of business next Thursday if they did that.
Right, and the banks.
So, good luck.
Yeah, you know, I was going to make a point about that, too, because I've heard people say, well, if the internet goes down, everything goes down, the whole Bitcoin system goes down. I said, yeah, and so does all the Federal Reserve notes and all the banking. But the neat thing, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Rex, since the entire transaction history in most cases or in many cases is stored in mine wallets, as soon as any computer comes up with the solar power or battery power or anything, or anytime anybody's ready to start communicating again, Bitcoin is all of a sudden back in action.
Oh, well, absolutely. And it's not most transactions. It's every transaction.
Right.
And yeah, the only ones that would fail would be the ones, I mean, if at a hypothetical moment at midnight the internet went down, the transactions that had just taken place within the last minute before that, now those might get lost.
Right.
But everything that was in at least one block of the blockchain, which means anything more than a minute or two old, is there forever. There's a copy of that ledger in every single computer that's connected to the Bitcoin network. Every single one. Every full service wallet, every miner, every full node, everything. And the only lesser copies. There's a lightweight wallet called Multibit, which is good right. for beginners to use. And it doesn't store quite the whole blockchain. It just assumes that the first 4 years, I think, of the blockchain are there are so many copies of that it can ignore those, so it only concentrates on the last year and a half.
Right.
You know, which is plenty
superfluous.
For,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's plenty for any records you can imagine wanting to keep. And you make the beautiful point that it's, you know, as long as one of those computers survives, Bitcoin is still in operation.
The entire
system. You
could
suspend it, but you couldn't stop it.
Can you imagine?
Go ahead.
I was going to say this, Rex. Can you imagine what would happen with Walmart or Walgreens or your bank or anybody using Federal Reserve notes if the computer system went down? I mean, they'd, they'd be out for months, and Bitcoin would be operational instantly.
Yeah, that was the next point I was going to make. What you have to realize also is that the cryptography that Bitcoin uses is not unique to Bitcoin. The creator of all of this, you know, Satoshi, whoever he is, we still have no idea who he is, he worked in international banking, and he knew quite well what the banks already used to send money internationally, and he just copied the same cryptography. He tweaked it in such a way that it doesn't require a central authority. The central authority is that ledger of which a copy exists everywhere, and everybody agrees on the ingeniousness of it was figuring out a way to make sure that everybody has the same record. Because there are propagation delays across the network, you know, and you might, you know, a node in Tokyo might not get information from Afghanistan as quickly as Afghanistan would get information from India, let's say. And so that those propagation delays might cause nodes in those three countries to have a different opinion as to which transaction came first. But the blockchain is ingeniously tweaked to avoid that. You know, the order of blocks is absolutely agreed on by every single node in the network. That's the reason for the slight delay, by the way. I'm sure if you've ever noticed sending an email, if you're on a very hot internet node, an email is practically instantaneous. Like, I don't know if you ever, like, paid a cell phone bill with a card. You as soon as you punch the last number and hit enter on that upload card, you know, there's an email in your email box or a text sent to your cell phone acknowledging the payment. Bitcoin is not quite that fast. There's a lag of anywhere from 10 seconds to maybe sometimes as much as 10 minutes, although I've never actually seen one take that long. Theoretically, it can go 10 whole minutes. And the reason for that lag is that basically every single Bitcoin node in the world all has to shake hands with everybody and say, okay, we're agreed, this next block is the next one, right? You know, and that does take a short amount of time. So that Bitcoin is not quite instantaneous, but its security more than makes up for that minor delay. And think about that, folks. You know, as little as 10 seconds to send money to Botswana or South Australia, it's mind-boggling. And it doesn't take any longer there either. It's the same 10 seconds through 10 minutes to go there as to go anywhere. And that just, I mean, it still boggles my mind, and I've been making my living off this stuff for more than a year and a half.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, you've certainly learned a lot about this. Let me ask a question. This is one of the questions that I have. I said, okay, now let's talk about Bitcoin mining for just a little bit here. And, of course, you know, I wonder what's going on with this extremely elaborate, you know, computer processing operation that's there. That's the one thing I don't understand. What is involved with all of that? What is going on with that? And why is it so big and so elaborate? And what is how does Bitcoin work within that system? And why is that necessary? And how does that configure?
Okay, what you've actually asked is two questions. Do you want the base nuts and bolts of why and how mining works in general, or do you want the actual arms race you referred to of, you know, battle of the supercomputers for who gets to mine this week?
Yeah, well, I was just wondering exactly what was involved and why there's so much processing in awarding bitcoins and what's going on with that processing. My question is, what are they doing with all that information? That's the question, I guess.
Oh, well, most of the information that is being exchanged is not the transaction. It's how that blockchain that I referred to, that copy of the ledger, it's how it's established. That's what mining does. And most of the information to it, and this is one unfortunate, less than perfect part of the system, all of that computing power is basically going to try and guess a huge random number. It's a 256-digit hexadecimal number. Bear in mind that the number of subatomic particles in the entire universe is around an 80-digit number. So, and in
right,
hex,
hold that
I think
right
it's probably only a 40-digit number.
Stand
so.
By. Here we go.
The Bob Justin Show.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the Castle Law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your two-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
All right, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. We have the benefit of Rex Brocky, and we're talking about Bitcoin. Steve, where were we, man?
Well, we were talking about mining, and Rex was explaining mining, and he was explaining the computer applications for mining Bitcoin and a number of other things, but I'll just let it go, and we'll just follow up where we were or just go where we need to go.
Okay. All right. Well, what all mining is the processing power to verify the transactions and process the transactions of Bitcoins themselves. A Bitcoin send is quite simple. If you, Steve, have 100 bitcoins in your wallet and you want to send 10 of them to me, you go in and it's based on public-private key cryptography, which sounds a lot more complex than it is. All those, there's one horribly long number, which is the public key. And that public key has some bitcoins attached to it. It has, let's say, 10 bitcoins associated with that address. That's all it is an address. Now, there's only one matching private key for that public key. You, as the owner of that particular address, you have the private key. Nobody else does. So when you send me 10 bitcoins, you digitally sign the transaction. Your wallet does it all for you. You don't have to actually pay any attention to this. You just go in and send 10 bitcoins to Rex Brocky to an address I supply. And it the bitcoins go to me. And when you sign it with your private key is proof that you owned those 10 bitcoins and you have the right to transfer them to me. Now, what the proof, where we get the proof, is we go back into the blockchain, into the record of all the transactions, and we say, okay, Steve is claiming he has 10 bitcoins. Where did Steve get them? Well, Steve had to get them somewhere. I don't whether he mined them or whether he bought them on an exchange or whether his rich uncle died and he inherited them. It doesn't matter. He got them from somewhere. There was some other transaction. So you go the program goes back into the blockchain and it finds, you know, where's the transaction where Steve got them? Well, it maybe say it's 3 months ago and he bought them from an exchange. Okay, well, did the exchange have the right to sell them? Well, yes, the exchange acquired them 3 months before that from blah, 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 blah. If you go all the way back 5.5 years to the beginning of the blockchain, you will find the very first ever transaction, which was 10,000 bitcoins for two pizzas. $50 was what they, and that, they needed a transaction to start the transaction ledger. So
sure.
two geeks got together and say, well, I got 10,000 of them. What do you want? Two pizzas? Okay, we'll do that. And they, you know, sent, you know, 10,000 bitcoins for two pizzas.
Well, I hope all the those, other those pizza makers held on to that those bitcoins.
Yeah, exactly. Well, whoever got the bitcoins, if he hung on to them, made out like a bandit. You know, that's about $1 million last week. Anyway,
not bad for a pizza.
No, not bad for a couple pizzas. Anyway, the point is that the computer processing power to search back through 5.5 years of record. Because see, there is no actual. I called the Bitcoin transaction register a ledger. It's not actually technically true. A ledger is a list of constantly updating amounts that of accounts for everybody. No, all that the Bitcoin thing is a record of every transaction. So if we want to make sure that Steve had the right to send those coins, we got to go all the way back to 5.5 years ago to see, well, to wherever those bitcoins originally sourced from, as far back as that goes. Now, where do bitcoins come from? Did the guy who programmed all this have, you know, 8 million of them and just distribute them? No, yes and no. The system is written so that when you are processing transactions, you as a miner, you have software that is running, that is basically doing all of this computing work to verify all of these transactions. That takes work. That somebody has to go, or somebody's computer has to go in and verify that Steve had the right to send me those bitcoins. So it has to check here and here and here and here and all the way back to the blockchain. Well, that takes computing power. Someone is just volunteering their computer to solve all these problems, to check all of these references and make sure that Steve did indeed have the right to send me those bitcoins. Well, the point is, every 10 minutes on average, although with the way the computing power of the network's going up, I've seen 2-second long blocks, the network, another block is added to the blockchain. This block contains all of the transactions that were included by whichever miner was working on it, and the block also contains a mathematical problem. Remember that 256-digit hexadecimal number I referred to?
Yes.
You're trying to guess that number. Now, it's not an exact number. If it were an exact number, the problem would be utterly insoluble, and we'd wait, you know, 9 eons just to solve one block. But all you have to do is get lower than a certain number with your result. I know that doesn't seem to make much sense, but it's sort of like, suppose the number was between 1 and 100.
Yeah.
You would have to make sure, and let's just say that the actual number that you were trying to guess was 28. Your guess would have to come in at 28 or below. It would have to come in at 27 or below. Now, it's that's outrageously oversimplified, but that's how it works. And the other thing is that the network also contains an automatic compensating factor as people start solving these problems faster and faster called the difficulty. And what that does is it raises the bar. It means that you have a bigger and bigger number you have to search for in effect. And so that now the difficulty is up something over 900 million, where the difficulty when all of this started was one. So that's how much advancement there's been in computing hardware to solve these Bitcoin problems. Back 4.5 years ago, every wallet was a Bitcoin miner. There was a little application built into the wallet. There was a little, ever since I think version 6, which is about 2 years old, it's turned off by default. But prior to that, it was turned on. And so that every person who downloaded a Bitcoin wallet, which is free and open source, you know, just like OpenOffice or anything, every single person was instantly a miner. As long as you just left your computer connected to the network, it was mining. And every time that a block is found, meaning your computer solved the problem before anyone else did, your wallet would get awarded a block of 50 bitcoins. And that's how the bitcoins appeared, because it's more like a lottery. You know, you're guessing numbers, and if you guess right before anyone else does, you get those 50 coins. Well, that's how the coins appeared in the network. You know, that you wonder, you know, well, if Steve got them, and he got them from exchange, and the exchange got them from goodness knows where did they come from originally? Well, if you trace them all the way back, eventually they show up in one of those blocks of 50 that somebody got. Just an added detail, by the way, the number of coins in a block is cut in half every 4 years. So that now, and Bitcoin's been going for almost 6 years now, and so we are currently on 25 coins per block. Two and something years from now, it's going to be cut to 12.5 coins a block. But since there's a relationship between difficulty and price, 12.5 bitcoins by 2.5 years from now will probably be worth many hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I don't see mining getting unprofitable anytime soon.
Excellent. Now, can people work together and network to create, can they mine together with this kind of thing, Rex?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's called a mining pool.
Right.
It was invented by a gentleman with an utterly unpronounceable Czechoslovakian name. His nickname is Slush. And there's no mystery about him. We do know who he is. I'm just not going to embarrass myself and him by attempting to pronounce his name over the air. He invented the pool mining concept about 3.5 years ago. He has the oldest pool running, but there are now hundreds of others. It's called Slush's Pool. Anyone who wants to. That's the pool I'm mining in.
Okay, and how does that work, though? I mean, how do I get involved, or what do I do? Or let's say I want to get involved.
What you have to do, the nuts and bolts are you have to set up an account on Slush's Pool, doesn't cost anything, or any other mining pool that you tickles your fancy. You have to identify a worker, that's what they call it. You get a little name and a password for your worker. Name and password are chosen by you. It's just to identify your mining hardware to their network. Now, what happens is the pool operator, he's faced with that enormously difficult mathematical problem of trying to guess a 256-digit number. So what the pool operator does, now that not a human being, this passed beyond human ability 4 years ago, but his computer and its program, what it does is it breaks it down into a series of less complex problems. And then it parcels those less complex problems out to all the computers that are connected, or other pieces of hardware, that are connected to its pool. And everybody works on it, and you get shares of the work. And I think that...
Very good. Okay.
Coming to break.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back. It's the Bob Tuscan Show. Don't go anywhere. We're gonna chase those crazy ballads out of town. Chase those crazy ballads out of town. With financial